said something yesterday during prayer. But from that, today has been a full restoration of 19 years. From yesterday to tonight, it was actually an exhortation. It came out, called it the Crucifixion of Cujo. Well, the subject matter was not funny, but the way you brought it out is funny. Anyway, I'm going to share some things tonight. It's going to help you out. God's going to help us out greatly in these last days. He's not going to leave you to yourself. I want you to go to Genesis 3, possibly help your definition of what love is. It's everything you presently think it is, but it's some other things too. We have a definition of love from our viewpoint, from our lens system, for what we feel. Amen? But love is also greater than what you feel. Love conquers. Love conquers anything in its way. Amen? But this kind of love that I'm going to talk about, thus far, in my particular experience, I've only been able to find in the Father where He is. I've not been able to find this kind of love in the earth. Now, I've definitely been touched by the Father's love. I've been, like you have, in intercession. I've tasted, touched, drank, all of that. Wept, the whole thing. But nothing like what I've been able to encounter and what everyone's about to encounter. So I want to share with you a little bit about the revelation of what I'm understanding love to be right now. He didn't say that the greatest of all things is love for no reason. There's a reason he said that. Amen. Genesis 3, of course, you know man was made in his image. What does that mean to you? We were made in God's image. Well, I'm sure love had something to do with that because God is love. So if he made you in his image, he made man in the beginning to dwell in perfect love with the Father and dwell in perfect oneness. In Genesis 3, verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Did you hear that? Her husband was with her. He let her do that. He watched over her while she did it. Then the blame started. It wasn't me, it was her. She goes, it wasn't me, it was him. The devil. Now I want to tell you right here in verse 7, systems were introduced. These systems you struggle with whether you know it or not. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife, first thing they did is hid themselves. It's the first thing that happened. Separation came in from God. This separation is hidden. It's subtle. They hid themselves. Look what they began to do. Immediately, self was set in. They began to cover themselves. They sewed fig leaves together, made themselves aprons. They knew they were naked. They lost their glory right there. They lost the image. They lost the glory. They were cut off. They began to see things they'd never seen before. And they began to do things they never did before. God covered them. All of a sudden, they felt naked. They felt uncovered. And they began to cover themselves. That's a product of the fall. There's three major things that came in the foundation, and everything else is built out of that foundation. Separation is one of them. And look at this. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord being separated. And the Lord God called on Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Do you think God didn't know where he was? Do you think God knows where you are right now? You don't think, I mean, he only had one of him in the earth. Do you think he was asking that for his benefit? Adam, where are you? He was asking Adam, Adam, you need to ask yourself, where are you? And he said, I heard the voice, a voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Fear. Now, this is not just a spirit of fear, and you need to, it's a necessity you understand this. It wasn't just a spirit of fear that came in, it was a system of fears that produced hiding. It came out of the separation with man. And man began to separate. Fear in the system of fear was introduced, as was the system of self. Self began to reign within man. Self's capacity to cover themselves. And then the curse set in. Out of the sweat of the brow, you're going to bring forth labor. Your own self. Because you separated from me, you have to do everything through self. The self will now reign. And from the sweat of your own brow, you're going to bring forth what I gave you freely. In the garden, man never worked for his provision. Man never worked for the love of God. Man never covered himself. Never had the need to cover himself. He was consistently covered in the glory of God. He never felt naked before. He never had to cover himself. He never worked for anything. It was all provided. All he was called to do was manage. So fear, self, and separation, these were systems. Say systems. They were a result of the fall when man lost his glory. God, from this point, initiated redemption. He initiated a plan of redemption. And I was caught up with him on Monday morning. When God speaks to you in that room, it's different than when he speaks to you here. When you're in presence of the Lord and he talks to you, why do you think I'm bringing you into this room, the thing we talk about Sunday? My Father's house, there's many dwelling places. I'm going to prepare a place for you and the Father. I'm going to come and get you and bring you. He goes, why do you think I'm bringing you to the Father? The good answer always would be, I don't know, Lord, why? The answer that I gave him, I said, well, so I could be loved. He says, and why is it that I want you to be loved? And what is it that you're going to encounter in my love? I said, I don't know, Lord, what am I going to encounter? And immediately began to speak to me about the plan of the ages. His perfect plan of redemption and what he's going to do with his people in the last hour, in the last days, and where he's going to bring us and the power of what we call love. Now, I just came out of an encounter several weeks before in which God ripped something out of me that had been with me 19 years in a ministry, and he just ripped it. I mean, love just obliterated it. And there's something that I struggled with that I couldn't see, but somehow when I was brought into this room with the Father, nothing could stand before that love. And it just obliterated the spirit of control. Some of you knew there was in my life, but it was there. There's no doubt about it. When you're called into the presence of the Father, it doesn't matter what people think or people say, because there's a light there like no other light. When you're in the presence of love, love is a whole lot more than something that makes you feel good when you come out of it. Love will obliterate anything in its path. It has the power to transform you like no other force. But this kind of love is found in the Father. And this is why the Lord in his redemption, he didn't come just to save you. He came to get you and to bring you back into the garden and to bring you back into fellowship with the Father, and to bring you back into the full redemption of what man was called to walk in. He wants and he will in this last hour. There's no doubt about it. He's going to restore the glory upon man. And the sons and daughters of God are going to walk in the manifested glory again in the earth the way they did in the garden. That level of restoration is going to happen. But there's no power on the earth right now that has that kind of power to change us. But there is a power in the Father that does. There's a power in His love of something we don't fully understand until we learn to dwell in the Father where the Father is. We've all experienced the love of God. Every one of us know. How many of you know your love? Raise your hand. We all have done that, but there is another love he calls perfect love. It's not another love. It's just it's called perfect love. Say perfect love. Now I want you to go over to 1 John chapter 4 for a minute. There's perfect love. And Jesus, when he was praying in John 17, he said, Father, I will that they be made perfect in oneness. Say perfect in oneness. There's something about the oneness that God has positionally given us. When Christ came into you and you are in Him, that is a positional standing. Say positional standing. From that, He has the right to execute redemption and bring the fullness of that standing. Everybody wants the Father's love. Everybody wants to experience, encounter the Father's love. But there is a perfect love that's found in the Father, and the Lord knew that. That's why He came and got you. He did not come to save you just to leave you here. He came for you to be with Him where He is. He came to bring you where He is so you could go into the Father's love and for that love to transform and conform you into the image that He made you to be. There is no power like that love. Not anything I've ever experienced. 1 John 4, verse 16. We have known, gnosko, we've known, Chuck brought this out, become intimately acquainted, and we have believed the love that God hath to us. Notice what he says, God is love. And he that dwelleth, I love this word, dwelleth. He that dwelleth, Mano, in love dwelleth in God and God in him. If you dwell, there's a lot of people that dwell in the presence of the Lord. You don't, and especially in full gospel churches, they dwell in the presence of the Lord. They know the Spirit of God. They understand the things of God. They understand all the things of the Spirit, and they believe that they're really dwelling in God. But listen to me. Listen to me. If you truly dwell in the Father, you cannot come out the same person. That's an utter impossibility. You can't come out dwelling in the Father and come back and not walk in love. Because love will obliterate anything that's not in its image. He said, herein is our love made perfect. We have boldness in the day of judgment because as He is, so are we in this world. He is one. He came and said, I am one. When I and my Father are one. We are one. Notice verse 18. I want you to understand this verse. It's very important you understand this verse. There's no fear in love. Now, a lot of times we've attributed that to spirit of fear. It could be a spirit, but what he's speaking about more here is more than a spirit. He's talking about the system of fear that it was introduced at the fall. The system, when separation came in, immediately their eyes were open. They were afraid of the presence of God. They hid themselves, and they were trying to cover themselves, and they were veiling themselves, and man's been veiling himself ever since. He can veil himself in systems of rejection. He can veil himself in pride. He can veil himself in fear. You hide a whole lot more than you think you do. But a lot of times when we get discouraged, we want to run from God. That's nothing more than the same thing that Adam was doing when they were running from the presence. Veils cause you to hide. When love has its way with you, you'll come out transparent. It's just a fact. You enter in the presence of God, you may not come out transparent. When you enter into the love of the Father, you'll come out transparent. You cannot dwell in the love of the Father and not come out with transparency. You cannot dwell in the love of the Father and Him not do this next verse. Perfect love casteth out fear. It will cast out that cyst that was introduced at the fall of man. The first thing He's going to do is the Lord, what He wants more than anything. Once you're saved, He wants to introduce you to the Father's love. So this kind of love can transform you and bring you back into the fullness of the image, because this kind of love has the power to cast out those systems. Now, your spirit was made in the image of God. The day you were born again, perfected in the image of God, but your soul is still a mess. Well, not yours, but the other people in the other churches, you understand. You still have strongholds. Stuff that can survive in ministry. Stuff can survive in full gospel. Walls. Veils. Hiding. Well, I'm not afraid. It's not that kind of fear. I'm not afraid of anything. Not that kind of fear. That's just pride unveiling me. This is the subtle kind that hides. You want to know what it looks like? When you go to pray and you have this huge brick wall between you and God and you don't know how to get through that brick wall. So you fellowship on this side of it because you don't know how to really go through that. You want to be one with God, but there's something there. That's a veil that was produced by the fall. It was a separation. And it's a system of fear. You'll have to get through that. Here's the catch 22. When you're in the presence of perfect love, when we dwell in the presence of perfect love, it will cast that out. It will initiate a redemption against what man was originally subjected to. That's what love does when you're in the presence of it. Love will initiate judgments against the old man. That's what love does. It'll also have you coming out feeling like $1 million manifesting. It'll have you coming out all the feelings, all the emotions, all the glory of it, all the wonder of it, all the beauty of it. That's all there too. But it'll also search the heart, and whatever standing in its way, it will initiate redemption. That's what it does. That's why the Lord wants to bring you into the Father. That's why He wants you to know. He wanted to bring you to where He was so the Father could love you in the Father's definition of love, not your definition. We think, I just want to be loved. Of course you do. But God doesn't want to just love you. He wants to love you. And what I mean by that, He wants to initiate the redemption of love. And for love to transform anything that's not of love will come and become love. You cannot dwell in the Father with anger. You might go in with anger, but it's not going to stay there. You cannot say you know God and continually hold anger in your heart. You cannot say that I dwell in the God and have anger in your heart, because that's impossible. If you're dwelling in God, you're dwelling in love, and love's going to conquer that. It's one of the first things it'll conquer. It'll just conquer it. You'll come out crying, weeping, broken. That's what love does. The hardest thing about this, Chuck and I have talked about this. The hardest thing about this is to get past your perception of you already got this. I've got this already. Move on, please. I get it. I did the same thing. That's what John was trying to say. If you read on in John, he said, how can you, a man, say that he knows God and hate his brother? Because there's a lot of people in that day and hour under Judaism that they say, I know God, but they are full of hatred. He said, you cannot say you know God and hate your brother. You cannot say you dwell with Him because He is love.
He's going to change you. The better thing is I'm dwelling in a measure of his presence, because when you dwell in his love, trust me, you're going to come out changed. You're going to come out transformed. You're going to meet a force and a power. And this is what the Lord wanted to do. He wanted to get you high enough to get you into the Father. That's why he came and got you. Salvation was phase one of your redemption. The cross was phase one. Phase two, to raise you up into union with him. Phase three, to introduce you to the love of the Father. Phase four, that love to perfect you into the original image God gave man, so he can restore his glory upon you. And this is what he said to me. He goes, I cannot place my glory on you where there's separation. And the only thing powerful enough to remove the separation is love. Now go to 1 Corinthians 13. I wanted you to set your compass a little higher. I know you think you got it. I know you think you dwell there. Just set your compass a little higher. Because love is much more powerful than any of us have ever deemed. It's really, really, really something. And God really, really, really likes to be with us. What you don't know is how much, or you probably do know, the enemy would like you to believe that God will accept you one day and not the next. Something's wrong. Do you get this right over here? You're really not ready. Isn't it amazing how we want to perfect these issues over here? And this is what I want to get into tonight, about how we approach love. Because a lot of us will read this chapter and say, okay, love is patient. Love is kind. I'm over here in the earthly jurisdiction, so I need to be patient. I need to be kind. Right? What else is love? Verse 4, love suffereth long, it's patient, it's kind. Love envieth not, it's not jealous. It vaunteth not itself, it's not full of pride. It's not behave itself unseemly, it's not rude. And seeketh not its own, it's not selfish. Well, that's enough right there, praise the Lord. So we see all that, you know, we get that scripture out and we're going to do this. There's a lot of pathways to love, but there is a perfect love that dwelleth in the Father. And then there's a love that gets perfected with you and I. The Lord always said, he goes, love one another as I've loved you. As the Father has loved me and I've loved you, now continue in my love. He didn't say the first commandment is to love one another. First commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and then love one another. You cannot love one another until we first are loved. Amen. Now what we do, because of what's happened with the fall and the system that got set in, is we see those kind of verses and we want to definitely, you know, obey God. We want to be like God. We want to conform to his image. So we start working on these areas, all in this jurisdiction right here. So love is patient. So I got to work on my patience. Good luck with that.
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge. Today's message will now continue.
Oh, I got to work on patience. So every one of you, I want you to choose to be patient. And I want you to pray for patience. And as soon as you do, wait till you see what happens. You're going to have a lot of experiences and a lot of opportunities to be patient. And then after you run that course, I want you to then, love is kind. So you pray with your Father, teach me to love. Back in the old building, man, we were hot on the trail for love. Flow of his love, and we all got on our knees and said, Father, teach us of love, and everything broke loose. That's some hard learning right there. Because what you're doing is you're trying to produce love out of a system dominated by self. You're trying to find love and you're trying to originate it with yourself. That's some hard work. You're going to get somewhere with it, but it's hard work. It's thorns and it's thistles. I'm going to be good. I'm not going to be rude. I'm going to be nice. And I'm going to be gentle. And I'm going to be patient. As soon as the situation comes, here's what happens. I'm going to be patient today. And you just hold it in. Because you got to be a good boy. Right? Because that's what love asks you to do. So you're holding and you're grinding it out right here because this is what love tells me to do. I'm just... What you really want to do is just rip through them. Right? But you've gotten really good at compressing it. And so watch what happens. We compress, we push it down, and we wrap something else around us. This is my church suit. I'm coming in here and I'm going to be nice today. I'm sweet. This is my church smile. This is my kindness. God, get me in the anointing so I can actually be nice. Nobody has this problem. So all this stuff we do, but there is a better way. Love is patient. One of the things I found out is when the Lord started bringing me into the Father, this love that he has where he is, dwelling with him in this place, when you get exercise in it, it looks, and if it finds impatience, guess what it does? If it can cast out fear, do you think it can cast out impatience? Because it's not casting out a spirit, it's casting out a system, a character defect. It's going to purge it. And when you start getting exercise, you start dwelling in the Father, you come out and all of a sudden, you're a lot kinder than you were. I'm finding circumstances that used to just get me all stirred up. I'm like, it's just water over a duck's back. I'm finding a patience that's come and a peace that's come. And I didn't work for it like I was doing over here. I just dwelt in it. I just entered into it freely. There was a work involved, but the work was faith to get there. But once I got there, once I was in there, it does something to you. It changes you. It makes you nice. It makes you kind. It takes these walls and it just shatters them. Stuff you don't know there, it just shatters stuff. It lets you see things you couldn't see before. It judges things righteously. It searches it out, says that will not do. And the power of it to remove stuff is just awesome. And though it's painful to look at, and sometimes you kind of come out and you look at some of the stuff you've done, like, I can't believe I did that. But he crucifies that thing. He doesn't just push it down for you to live all your life pushing Cujo down all the time. He wasn't just having a ravenous dog that you keep on a short leash all your life. Don't come up. We're in church today. Stay. After all, the original lie, we're supposed to be perfect. If you'll eat from this tree, you'll be as God. So we got to be perfect today. So we're going to put that mask on. And you're going to stay down. He doesn't always obey. Because you keep pushing a ravenous dog down out of nature, something's going to set him off. And your nature's going to get set off. The old man's going to set off. And when it does, it doesn't take but 5 seconds to do 5 years worth of damage. In 5 seconds, one bite can rip 5 years from a person's life. Especially if you have authority with people. But that's how we live. We're doing the best we can, right? But God never designed it to be that hard. He didn't want it like that. That's why the Lord's final prayer is, Father, I will they be with me. I'm coming to prepare a dwelling place for you. And I'm going to come and get you so you can be with me. And I'm going to introduce you into the Father. And he's going to love you. And when he loves you,
He's going to restore you back to your full image. Your spirit I purchased. I caused you to be a new creation immediately. But the rest of you, I'm going to conform you to my image. So you work at all this. Because that's what man does as a result of the fall. We work at it. We work real hard. Some of us, we don't work at all. We don't care. We just let it go. Praise the Lord. I don't care. Some come in with the attitude, I don't care. I'm just going to do it. I don't care. Others, you know, live in the shame. That's why they hid themselves. They live in the shame. So they hide. You're hiding it from people, but nobody's hiding anything. Amen. A lot of things you hide. You don't know you're hiding. You've had to live. Some of you, some of us, we didn't have a very good upbringing. We had dysfunction. And dysfunction causes us to hide things. We don't know we're hiding. You live a life of hiding. When you live in fear, you don't know what you're doing. When your dad comes home, you don't know if he's going to throw you across the room because you're eating a snack. You don't know what that does to you every day when you get exercise like that. You don't know. And so you put these veils around you. But they've been so familiar, you don't know they're there. Because you can live in God. You can operate in God. You can prophesy. We can pray. We can minister in the things of God. And we can have all that stuff. And we can still function and flow. Because when the anointing comes on, we're Superman. When the anointing comes on, that's what people don't get. It wrecks them. Because they see in the anointing and think you're perfect. When they get around you, you're not so perfect. They see the stuff because you can't hide it. No matter what, you can't hide it. And some of you hate it as much as everybody else does, but you don't know how to get rid of it. Some are better at hiding than others. Some are very skilled at hiding. And some can't hide nothing. The more they try, the more it flows. Then you've got the ones that got it all together. I don't need this. I got it. I got this. The whole life's messed up, but they got it. That's hiding behind a veil of pride. And then you got the ones that are full of shame. They're hiding behind a veil of rejection and shame. It just doesn't matter how you hide. We want the love of God. We want to grow up. We want to be made in His image. I don't know very many people that love God that want to stay the same and have those issues constantly in their life. You want the separation. Everybody loves to be in the presence of God. Everybody hates the separation they feel. Everybody, when you wake up in the morning, you go to God, you hate that separation. You can't stand it. It disappoints you if you can't get into the fullness of God that day. You can't get in His presence. Probably God just boomed out of heaven and said, there's something I don't like about you today. Try again tomorrow. Try harder. Then some adopt the philosophy, well, you know, if I get this area right, I'll get in. See, you're working the wrong pathway. If I get this done, I'll get in. You get that done, you still can't get in. Because you'll never perfect yourself out of this jurisdiction. It's not going to happen. Perfection was never designed to be attained here. It was designed to be obtained in the Father because only He can perfect. Only perfect love can perfect. So Jesus made a way for you to be with Him with all your imperfection because when He's presenting you faultless. I present you faultless to the Father. You're accepted in me totally. I present you holy and without blame, even though you're not holy and without blame. I'm presenting you that way because that's the way He sees you. The Father accepts you that way. And then love comes in and said, oh, I detect something that's not of me. And immediately begins the process of casting those things out. Sometimes spirits are there, but the spirits have to have a foundation, a system to work through. And that's what God wants. He wants the change of nature. And that's the hardest thing to change. It's easy to get a devil out of somebody. It's very hard to change the nature. And that nature, love, can transform the nature. And that's what makes it so powerful. Because nature itself can't even stand against the love of God. The nature of impatience gets swallowed up
with rest. The nature of rudeness gets swallowed up with kindness and gentleness. The nature of self, it says, love seeketh not her own. Love, get this, can change the nature of self. One of the primary results of the fall was self. So the nature, love seeketh not its own. You come out, you go in selfish, you come out unselfish. Selfishness is one of the hardest things to transform in anybody. You know how hard it is to get somebody operating in this jurisdiction to get out of a self-based life that is dominated by self? How are you ever going to change that? People could scream at you, you don't care. Can't hear it anyway. That's why the Lord made the pathway to take you just the way you are the day you're saved. Just the way you think now that you've been so matured and understand a few things about God, God now accepts you. He loved you from day one. He's the one that sent his son to go get you. The father's up in there and said, you go get them. We're going to finish this plan of redemption. We're going to bring them right back to where they were. But God doesn't want that just to happen in heaven. He wants that to happen in the earth. He wants a people that's fully restored in their redemption. And when I got caught up with him on Monday morning, he told me, this generation, I'm going to transform the sons and daughters of God, and I'm going to have a remnant that's going to walk again as manifested sons of God. And I saw the power of his love. I saw him bringing people into that room. And I saw him casting out the nature and the foundation of self and separation and fear. And he began to conform. And when he did, I saw the glory return. And he came back. He called his people up to dwell with him. People have sure made a mess of the third heaven. They made a big old mess of what goes on up there. Everyone's looking for spectacular and lightning and thunders, and God is looking to conform you to the image of Christ. Everyone's looking for gold dust to come out and jewels to come out of heaven. Dear God, we don't need more gold dust. And they get up in there and get the craziest revelations up in that, what they believe to be the third heaven. When the Lord, he made that room to bring you to the Father to restore your image. That's his number one goal apart from salvation, is to restore you to the image. He wants to remove the separation. He wants to remove the fear, and he wants to remove self. And if you want to do that in this jurisdiction, you got a very hard road ahead of you. Because that's nothing more than works, works, works. We're a heavenly priesthood. We have a right to an altar that they that serve the earthly tabernacle have no right to. If the earthly tabernacle was God's perfection, he had no reason to change it. He had to bring another priest from another place so he could bring his people up. It's all about coming up to where he is. But you got to find that room so he can do the greatest work. It doesn't matter what your issues are. It doesn't matter what mine are. What I found is when I'm in the presence of love, nothing stands in its way. It takes even the proudest of person to come back weeping in perfect transparency. It takes you go in with all these walls, you come out free, not afraid. Not hiding from anything. No need to hide. The perfect freedom is one without walls. Find somebody that's free and I guarantee you're going to see transparency. Find somebody that's got it all together all the time. They're hiding. Thank you for your enthusiasm. That's the nature of hiding. Hiding likes to hide. The nature of love is light. It's going to unveil you. So if you say you dwell in love,
I promise you, you're going to come back looking like it. Because you cannot dwell in love and it not change you. You can dwell in the presence of God and keep your stuff. But you can't dwell in the Father's love and keep your stuff. Does that make sense? You can run around in the full gospel arenas. You can be in the presence, move in the presence, move in the anointing, be gifted, all of that. You can worship in the highest seats. But you can, and you can come back and still have your stuff and justify your stuff. But you can't dwell in the Father's love and have that. Because love's going to change you. And it's going to change you fast. Amen? Now, you have something? Okay, hold on. Remind me, I'll let you share that. I want to finish this part. I want to share this and I'll close. Jesus, John 17, Father, I will they be made perfect in oneness. I'm bringing them here to you, Father, so you can make them perfect in oneness. Because what God wants, I need you to see this again. Go to John 14. Just go here. You should get, it's a really funny teaching. You should get it. Listen to it. It's called The Crucifixion of Cujo. It wasn't fun, but it was necessary. John 14. Verse 20, I know you've heard it. At this day you shall know that I am in my Father and you are in me. That is a position and I'm in you. You're in him in the Father. You're with him. He's going to get you there if you keep your compass. Amen. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Doesn't that sound good? He that loveth me. He's going to be loved by my Father. But if you don't keep his commandments, Father's not going to love you. Well, that's what he said, wasn't it? Maybe that's not what he said. Because he was talking about if you'll keep my words. He goes on to explain it. Verse 23, if a man will love me, he will keep my words. See, that's a definition of true love. You're going to keep, if you really love me. Now get this. How many of you love God? So if you love me, you will keep these words that I'm giving you in chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17. And if you'll keep these words and you apply faith to these words and you'll set a compass with these words, I'm going to bring what he's saying. I'm going to bring you to my Father. And my Father's house is a dwelling place. Where I am, there shall you be also. I'm going to bring you into the presence of the Father. And he says, then him my Father will love. It has nothing to do with God's unconditional love to humanity and his unconditional love to you. He's talking about the initiation of the Father's perfect love where he is. He goes, if you'll love me, if you do love me, you'll keep these words and I'm going to bring you to the Father. And when I bring you into the Father, he's going to initiate love. And when he initiates his love, he's going to transform you. My Father's going to love you. Guess what love's after? Self-separation and fear. And a lot of other stuff too. And when he gets it, he says, and then after love initiates, then my Father and I are going to come back and make our abode with you here in the earth. That's the manifest glory of God upon his people. And that manifest glory of God will have an instantaneous operation of the kingdom of God without measure. Everywhere you go, it's not you that liveth. Christ is living in you. There's going to be instantaneous creative miracles, instantaneous wealth transference, instantaneous miraculous. Wherever you go, the kingdom of God is at hand. Because God has come down to dwell with you. He already positionally does, but that's going to become from position to reality. Because what God's bringing you in there first for is to conquer the separation so he can come back with you. Somebody say hallelujah. My Father will love him. Set your compass into the Father. That's where you are. That pole over there is where the Father is. That's the right hand. This is the earthly jurisdiction. There's nothing presently in you that keeps you from that place except doubt and unbelief. God's not asking you to be perfect to get over there. It's over there that he perfects you. You're going to learn that when you get in there with him like that. You're going to find he loved you a whole lot more than you initially believed. And he wants to be with you a whole lot more than the devil will have you believe. But to get over there with all your issues, because here's the catch 22. You do have fear, systems of fear. There are self-separation and systems of fear that dominate things, that make you feel distant from God, that make you feel far away, that make you feel walls and layers, that make you feel tapped out when you're trying to go in the presence of the Lord. You've got to go through that. You're going to have to go through that wall. Say, through that wall. The only thing that's going to get you over there consistently is faith and keeping of those words. If you master that in this life, the love of the Father will master everything else. And it's a beautiful thing. I don't believe God ever withholds himself from us. It's so free-flowing right now. There was a day I believed that because I didn't understand. But faith will triumph. Say faith. Faith in keeping his words causes you to go through the veil. That's all you need, is to believe those words and practice the awareness of them. You'll get there. He wants you there. He's in agreement with you getting there. He's going to get you in there, and love's going to do the rest. It's going to be as easy. Him taking down things that you've been working on for all your life, and everybody's been shouting, he will decimate that stuff. And you'll come back clothed in his image. And here's the beauty. He's coming back with you. Say, Father, come back with me. When he does, everything everybody's been looking for will automatically manifest. It'll start manifesting. That is the difference between the glory realm and the gift realm. Gift realm requires none of that. Glory realm requires all of that. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, it's the journey. Only standing thing between standing you and the Father is faith. Man, but faith will conquer that veil. Don't get discouraged if you don't jump in there your first day. I don't think anybody in this room has. Amen? But you will.